You are tuning in to Let's Talk Careers with Sarah. I am aired every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. In this show, I talk about career advancement, resume revamps, interview expectations, how to stand out from the crowd, how to brand yourself, and skills you need to become a CEO. All of this is on Armed Radio Online Show, Let's Talk Careers with Sarah, exclusively on TuneIn Satellite and the Armed Radio Network. Hello, hello, and welcome to Let's Talk Careers with Sarah. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time talking about careers and also invite some guest experts in order for you to learn more about your career. So today's special guest, we have Rudy Gavrilo. He is an accountant. Welcome, Rudy.
Thank you, Sarah, for having me. It's great to be here.
Great. So, Rudy, tell me about yourself. What led you to your career as an accountant?
Sure. So, I'm the managing partner of Gavrilo & Co. LLP. We are a full-service CPA firm out here in New York City. The way I got into this career was basically a by chance. I graduated with a career in industrial psychology, and that didn't work out. So I took a shot at accounting, and we've been in business for the last 5 years. And we take care of small businesses, high net worth individuals, for the most part.
That's great. And what mistakes usually people make in their career?
In terms of finding the right career, it's always not knowing what path they should always go to. They should always pick a path early on in their school year, and stick with it. Honestly, that's how I got into it. I said to myself, you know what, accounting is the thing for me. We're going to make it work. I felt that we should always pick a career where we can go on business for ourselves and be entrepreneurs.
That's right. And how do you stay up to date on current accounting laws and regulations?
You know, most accountants, we always have to stay on top of our game. We have to always take CPE credits. And we always have to be reading because, as you know, with the new laws, the new Reform Act, the whole game has changed. And so basically everybody who used to, you know, who are accountants and everybody coming into into accountants are basically starting from scratch because all the rules have changed. So we always, as accountants, have to be reading our articles, and just keeping up to date with as many tax laws as possible. So always constantly reading.
Right. That's on the newspapers and I guess also in the news.
Absolutely.
And let's say if someone wants to be an accountant, what are the top three skills like good accountant has or should have?
Well, accountants have to be really entrepreneurs these days. One of the big things today with accounting, and for anybody listening, I definitely recommend that you look at this career twice, because the accounting degree is becoming very automated. You have the bookkeeping, you have tax returns, where with AI and blockchain technology, these things like tax return preparation will go away. So what we have to become is more as advisors and consultants to our clients, where we guide them through specific tax strategies and wealth building strategies so they become successful in their life.
So you said that what are the skills?
So definitely to be think of outside the box. Is something that you should always do. Always learn how to do research.
Research.
It's not about Google. You know, Mr. Google is find me everything. With accountants, we always have the software where it's a little bit more in depth, and we have to read the IRS code. So the one thing that we should take away from this is learn how to do research and think outside the box in this day and age for accountants.
Okay. So let's say someone had $50,000 in savings account. How would you develop a strategy to spend or invest that money?
That's a great question. So, I mean, if anybody has that type of money lying around, we should always invest into, and the best thing today is real estate. With real estate, we have such high tax deductions there where we can basically take all our taxes that we might owe and bring it actually down to zero. So, one of the things that I always say, you know, if somebody wants to buy something, if that's a liability, to buy it, to before we do a liability, we have to have an asset to pay for that liability. And so if you have $50,000, you know, always looking to invest into real estate or in other businesses that you are passionate about that you know would make money. Never leave anything in the bank where it's just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like Grant Cardone, I don't know if you heard about him. He says always double that money somehow.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what are the characteristics, let's say, if someone wants to work in your organization, what are the characteristics of a successful employee in your organization?
Yeah, that's a tough question because it's all for to be a successful employee, and it all starts with the boss. It all starts for the person that we're, you know, the person whoever's working for you needs to want to work for you. So that being said, you know, you have to provide them good training. You have to provide them a good salary. Make them want to come to work. Make it fun for them. If all you're doing is just keep paying that person $10 an hour, there's really no motivation for them to come to work. And if you're a good boss and you know how to treat your employees, that in itself makes them a successful employee because they would want to come to work and strive for you.
All right. Always be looking forward to come to work. That's when they find their passion.
Absolutely.
And tell me about a person you admire and why they have made an important impact.
There's a lot of people that I look up to, but within the accounting industry, I believe a person is above all else, and he's actually my mentor. His name is Tom Wheelwright, and he's the author of Tax-Free Wealth. So he looks at taxes and everything in a particular way where, for instance, you know, people always ask, you know, is this deductible? You know, the one question you shouldn't be asking is it deductible? You should be asking, how can we make it deductible? And so, you know, he's the great person, and he's been around where, he's just a person that I look up to in terms of prepare, you know, into modeling my business the way he had it, you know.
That's very smart, by just having a mentor that you can follow his success in order for you to be successful.
Correct.
And tell me when you were most and least satisfying in your career.
I guess we'll start from the beginning. When I was least satisfied, I was working for somebody. Again, you know, as with an entrepreneurship mentality, you put all your effort into working for somebody and doing a good job for somebody when you always in the back of your mind saying, why can't I do this for myself? Why can't I grow up a business and strive from it? So that was the least, I guess,
success, satisfying.
You know, satisfying in my career. And, you know, that was basically from the college all the way up to, you know, 13 years. Really, when I became satisfied is when I became my own business owner, where I did everything for myself. And, you know, if there were any failures or any successes, you know, I was either to blame or, you know, be the one to pat myself on the back.
Right. And we'll get into transitioning to be self-employed later. I hope your listeners out there right now listening to it, stay till the end to find out how you can transition from your current situation into self-employed. Right now, we're just going to go over how Rudy has built himself in foundation, how he, in a career position that he was at, had to transition eventually with his skill sets that he has gained. Have you ever had to give someone difficult feedback?
Absolutely. You know, we deal with clients every day. And especially after the new Trump tax reform, for people, employees who are working for somebody else, a lot of the deductions and items that people use to reduce their taxes basically went away. And to tell somebody that, you know, I really can't help you because you're an employee, there's not much that the IRS has for you to do or incentives for you to take on, can help you. There was a lot, you know, they were preparing somebody's last year's tax return to tell them, because you're an employee, you have to pay an additional $10,000 to $15,000 in taxes. It's always a hard thing to do because I understand people work very hard for their money.
Right. And for, did anything about this career surprise you?
It's always a surprise because there's things that are always moving in different directions. As I was said before, the innovation with technology and so on in our industry are moving things in a dramatic way. I mean, just 10 years ago or maybe 15 years ago, accountants were doing everything by hand, their tax returns on a hand. Fast forward later, and now it's all done by computer, and we were held accountable for that. But now, you know, 5 years down the line, computers will do everything, and where there is no human interaction at all. So just the way that things are going is when I just started, it's very like eye opening. But we have to transition to become successful at what we do.
Right, and also learn new computer systems out there.
Absolutely.
In order to be efficient. I agree. And what advice would you give to your younger self?
That's always a tough one. I think to have started, you know, going on the path of being an entrepreneur from the beginning, you know, as soon as I had gotten college and I got my experience, I was a little, intimidated, to say the least, to start your own business. And, you know, I would definitely tell myself, you know, just go for it. Do what you have to do. Learn, you know, find yourself a mentor and then just go, just go with it. Things will come into perspective, you know, things end up working out usually.
Rudy, do you provide mentorship?
I mean, somebody that, you know, I always in my career always was looking for a mentor. So I would think it's only fair that I would provide, you know, be a mentor for somebody else, because that's what I always wanted and that's what I was always looking for. And it was not always available to me up until I was just saying from my mentor, Tom Wheelwright. But I definitely enjoy it. And I think to become successful, a person definitely needs a mentor and would help anybody.
That's great. And if, let's say, somebody wants you to be their mentor, how do they reach out to you?
So, you can always call me at my phone number, 646-235-0609. I'm always available and very responsive. And, you know, just email me as well. All my information is on my website.
Yes. Rudy's information will be listed in the description of this show. So you will be able to actually reach out to him via email, website, and also phone number. And what are some everyday challenges you face in your profession?
I think the biggest challenge is providing value to our clients. We don't want to be just somebody who are number crunchers these days. It's always showing our value and helping the client becoming wealthy, becoming understanding their financials, understanding where they basically want to be. And every client is always separate differently. So we always constantly have to try to adapt to every different client and their needs. So that's always a challenge. And in a way where we have to develop ourselves first as advisors, so we can help and give value to our clients.
Right. Like you said, you have to first help yourself to become an advisor and then help others. That's a very good mentality. And if you weren't an accountant, I know you're passionate about it and I know you are very good at it, but what would you do instead of being an accountant?
I always wanted to become a restaurant owner. That was definitely a wild dream. And I think it's a dream of everybody just to have that mentality. I own a restaurant. And so that was the biggest dream of mine. So obviously that didn't come true, but, as an accountant, one of our specialties and one of our niche clients is a restaurant owners.
Hmm. Restaurant owners, like, let's say catering or just a regular high-end restaurant?
Yeah, high-end sit-down type of establishment, you know.
That sounds very interesting. And what education and training is required to be an accountant?
All the education and training that you can get on your own is always recommended. I mean, this school never prepared me for what we are today as entrepreneurs. Accountants, like I said, have to be entrepreneurs these days and not just number crunchers. So always constantly innovating, always constantly reading and thinking outside the box to do different what other people in the industry are doing.
But you do need to have a bachelor's degree. And a BA.
Absolutely. I mean, there are some coaches that would say, you know what, you don't have to be a CPA or you don't have to be an A, or you even don't have to have an accounting degree to do some of the things that we are actually doing today. I highly disagree with that. There has to be some type of level of education. And if you don't have the correct education as an accounting degree in your bachelor's or master's degree today, then, you know, the client shouldn't look otherwise.
I look at it as though, I know Andrew Argue. I don't know if you heard about him.
Yes.
Andrew Argue. So he's the one who says that. And I also disagree. It's like you are going to a doctor who doesn't have a degree or any test taken in order to be a doctor. Like, how can you trust that person knowing that if he is a professional or not? I completely agree with you. You have to have a degree for that. And what are some common mistakes you see when hiring a new candidate for your company?
When you sometimes people, when they hire somebody, really don't get technical in terms of hiring that person. I mean, for instance, when I used to interview with people, like they never really asked me about my technical and, you know, how much I know or what I know. It was always about personality and for the most part. You really want to find, see how the person will mesh within your other staff. Yes, that's a big thing. But you also want to see that he can think outside the box and has the proper education to what you need.
Right. This is very important. It's not just the personality, but also the skills.
Correct.
And is there a common misconception about this career?
You know, my wife always thought that the accounting degree is always a 9-to-5 job because her mother is a bookkeeper, and that's what people respect you because you're an accountant. I mean, at the end of the day, for a lot of people, what the problem is that accounts become a cost to the individual. And that's not how we look at it. You know, we have to become, like I said, advisors to individual where we do help them save money. You know, if I saved you $30,000 to $40,000 a year, that's already giving a return on investment to what you might be paying me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about the glamour of being an accountant where, we're helping the individual. There's a certain way to help the individual, and that's to become the best advisor you can to them.
Right. And how do you define success?
To success, everybody is different. But to me, you know, I'm not looking. I think money for me is the last thing on my mind. You know, money is great, and it definitely will help with certain issues, but if you have a family that loves you and you have a husband or wife that supports you, for me that's already happiness, and I think anybody can get past any day-to-day struggles.
Right. A lot of people are more concentrating on the money, but they forget that they have kids and spouses to really count as success and not just the money.
Absolutely.
And for what is the best question you have ever been asked at the interview when you were not self-employed, when you were actually looking for a job?
Wow, that's that was such so long ago. yeah, I mean, those are the questions that I were asked were more of a logic questions. You know, where they actually made you think, you know, to make you think outside the box and how you would answer, for instance. I wouldn't know like the specifics right now, or would, you know, probably it'd be too long for this phone call to give you some of the questions that were asked. But, you know, you always want to make if you're interviewing somebody, you always want to give them questions where they would take a minute to think about it before they were their answer. So it's not like as if they already had all these questions written down and they already know what you're going to ask.
Right. It's spontaneously.
Exactly.
It's spontaneously. And what is the number one thing that you suggest asking or not asking in the job interview? If you had an employee that you were interviewing, what do you suggest that they did ask the right questions or ask the wrong questions?
There is no, I don't think there is any right or wrong questions. I think the fact that they have to ask the questions so the interviewer knows that they're interested, right? So You know, if I have a person that I'm interviewing, and I, you know, they told me a little bit themselves, and I told them about the company and what they're working to, and I asked them, okay, do you have any other questions for me? And they basically say no. I know that this person is not interested, or would I be interested in the person? Because going forward, if I were to hire them, they would do whatever they wanted to do, and they have no apathy to learn more about what they're doing.
So it's important that they do actually need to have at least one question in order to show their interest.
Yeah, I would say not even one, I mean, but just at least five.
At least five
different questions where they would actually make me think about it.
Right, right. And how important is networking in this industry?
Networking used to be a very big thing to get clients these days, and it's always the top thing on an account's list to get clients. But with technology these days, with any type of social media like Instagram or Facebook, just the fact that you're posting a video or commenting on somebody's post or putting your own ideas, that is already networking. And in that sense, it's very important, opposed to going actually to a networking event and meeting a person one-on-one and talking to them the way it used to be. So
right.
Being active in social media, just to get your name out there, it is key these days.
Right. And I also believe that it cannot be just be focused on social media. It has to be mixed networking strategies, that it can be offline and online at the same time.
Correct.
And is there anything that you do in everyday life that has helped you reach success in your work?
I always believe the notion of the early bird gets the worm. So to get up early, you know, and just basically self-reflect on what you have done in yesterday or the day before, and what you can do better. It's always a big thing in going to the next day and trying to do it better. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Self-reflection is very, very important. So you don't repeat the same mistakes you did yesterday. And also, I believe, like, having a goal in mind that you want to reach, how to make it differently and make it more productive. I truly believe in that. And now we're going to go towards the how to transition from a current position to self-employment. And I really thank you, audience, that you are actually listening for a while. And, you know, as oftentimes I say that every time you listen to my shows, you have to have a pen and a paper and take notes. If you just started listening to it right now, then I got you covered. This is going to be recorded and posted in a podcast, so you will be able to take notes and listen to it as often as needed. So, Vudi, what advice would you give to someone who is changing careers?
I guess the number one advice would be to really know what you're getting into and do it for the right reasons. Do it because not it's going to make you money, but do it because you have a passion for doing it, and you have a passion to actually help people. So that would be the number one takeaway that I would say.
So to find your passion in what you're doing, that's very, very important. Not because of the money, not because of the other benefits, but also because of what you like doing.
Absolutely.
And now, can the listeners transition into self-employment with their professional background?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on exactly what you're doing, but I believe this day and age, everybody wants and needs to become an entrepreneur to really accelerate their wealth in what they do. I believe that anybody can do it, and it's, and if it's not your career and exactly what you're doing, just the fact that you might have something on the side that you think it might be a good idea to help an individual is a way to transition into becoming a self-employed individual.
So, what do they need to have in order to make that transition?
The desire to do it, basically.
The desire to do it, that's
They
true.
need to not be comfortable with it to do it. I mean, when your per person's making $200,000, $300,000 in working for somebody on a W-2, it's not easy to go onto your working for yourself with the possibility of only making $50,000. So somebody has to be ready for that transition and say, yeah, today I'm making gonna make $50,000, but 2 3 years down the line I'm gonna be making $1 million. So that they have to be comfortable to that they're gonna be uncomfortable with where they might be if starting that way.
And they need a mentor, right, in order to get to that level.
Mentors always advised to guide you in the right track. Everybody's made mistakes, and you want to learn from somebody else's mistakes. That's what a mentor is usually for.
Right. Listeners, if you want to reach to Rudy Gavrilov, it's 646-235-0609, and the information will be listed in the description box, so you will be able to reach out to him at any time. Now, Rudy, what are the resources out there that you know that you can share with me?
Resources, in terms of what? I'm sorry.
In terms of transitioning to become a self-employed.
Yeah, so I mean, to become self-employed, you need to have the right advisors surrounding you. So I definitely recommend reaching out to somebody that you know that can help you in terms of, for instance, setting up an LLC or somebody that would take care of your bookkeeping. So you always have to have the right people surrounding you, and that's the number one resource to help you grow.
Do you recommend books?
Yeah, I mean, some type of books. I was saying, the best book out there to really start to understand from a financial perspective and how we can build wealth and save on taxes is Tom Wheelwright's book, Tax-Free Wealth. I highly recommend this book, and this book actually really changed my perspective on how I look at my own business and for my clients.
That's great. Now, do you have a client who has reached out to you to help him or her with the transition to self-employment?
I have clients, yeah, every day. I mean, our main focus is to teach people that there is ways where you can build wealth through permanent tax savings, and that's through becoming a self-employed individual. So.
Okay. And typically, how much money can they make for working for themselves?
The sky's the limit. It depends on what you do and your passion for it. But it's not how I believe in it's not how much you make, but it actually how much you can save that will make you successful.
Right, that's a very good mindset. How much you can save. And what are the benefits of working for themselves?
Besides being your own boss and you know, building a career for yourself, building a dream for yourself, I think that's the biggest takeaway. Live your dream. I mean, it's you know, life is too short, and we want being a business owner. There's never the day is never the same.
Right, the day is never the same. So I'm sure there's like flexibility, and you create your own agenda for the day. Nobody's pressuring you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And while the listeners may be thinking about going through that transition, in the meantime, what can you suggest about saving or tax tips advice at the moment?
There are different type of strategies, a self-employed or business owner or investor that can take advantage of. One of the biggest things that I hear every day, and I really want our listeners to really take into heart, is, and I hear this every day, that it's a red flag. You shouldn't do it. Accountants are always saying that, is the home office deduction. There are so many tax benefits to having a home office where you can deduct your travel costs, or you can deduct part of your rent and utilities. There's so much savings within it. When I hear other accountants say this is a red flag, you shouldn't do it, it's only because they are lazy and they don't want to prepare the necessary forms or advise the clients on these type of strategies. So if anything anybody can take away from today's call is look into an advisor that will, you know, advise you properly and tell you what you can deduct, like how can we make it deductible, and obviously make sure that it's all legal and show you the proof that in ways that you can do it.
So let's say they would like to have a home office, right? And what will they need? I would say, what will they need to have in their office that can be deducted?
So usually we want to have a specific space dedicated for what you're doing within your business. I mean, you can, you know, some people don't have such a big space where, like, you know, their office can be in their own bedroom. So, you know, the fact that you might have a table, you might have a laptop or, you know, some type of furniture, you can depreciate all this assets and get a deduction for, you know, for those assets. Or you can travel, you know, if you have another office or you're going to a client office, you can actually deduct the miles from your home office to your client's place of business. So those are the advantages of a home office. Usually, if a person didn't have a home office and they were traveling to a client, those wouldn't be deductible. So
right,
those are some of the advantages that we can take into account.
And what about equipments like a printer, a fax, phone?
Everybody,
can that be deducted too?
Everything that would be associated with you conducting your business would be deductible.
Would be deducted. And what about car?
Yeah, I believe your car is definitely one of the top tax deductions that you can have. You can deduct your gas, you can deduct your miles, you can depreciate your car and basically get $5,000, $10,000 deduction to lower your taxes. But just by having, you know, just by driving from a client to your home office.
Right. So there are ways to actually save on taxes.
There is so many ways that a person can save the taxes. They just have to get from the employee tax bracket to a self, you know, in to a self-employed person or a person that has a big business or investor.
I see. And I know that individuals are probably 35% on the tax bracket, right?
At the highest rate, yes.
At the highest rate. And if they are self-employed, what tax bracket are they going to be?
Well, that's it. It depends on everybody else in individual situations, but I can tell you know, the tax code is based on incentives. Believe it or not, 95% of the tax code is meant for you to save money and how to save money. 5% of the tax code is actually meant to tax you. So if you want to do what the government wants you to do, you can get your tax rate down to zero.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
And it's not going to be a red flag.
No, of course not, because everything that we do with our clients is all backed up by the IRS code and is all 100% legal. As I
Wow,
said,
that.
the IRS wants you to invest into businesses. The IRS wants you to invest in oil and gas and energy and the stock market. And for all this, they'll give you tax incentives, tax credits or deductions for you to do this. And so when you take advantage of all these things, you can get your tax down to zero.
And this is only in New York, right?
No, absolutely not. This is all around the world. I mean, taxes are very similar to to the United States all around the country. They also want to bring their economy up, and the way you do this is actually by paying taxes or creating incentives to do that.
That's great. That's something that I didn't know. And what are the big challenges a self-employed can face in his business?
Well, some of the challenges is obviously, creating a business where the need is out there for people. I mean, somebody needs something from somebody. So it's just a matter of, do you have the right product for what the population needs, for what the people need?
So it's basically supply and demand to find out what's on demand to supply that service or product.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what do you do when you have tight deadlines and multiple tax returns to finish?
Work extra hours.
Work extra hours.
I mean, at the end of the day, things have to be done at a certain time, and we want to make our clients happy. So obviously organization is key, and the having the right team is always key to meet those deadlines, and so at the same time the client is happy.
Right. As long as the client is happy, you do whatever it takes.
Absolutely.
And how have you helped clients save money or better use their available financial resources?
So what we do in particular is set up a tax strategy for our clients where we will look at their life and business as a whole, where we'll look at different deductions and legal entity structuring and loopholes. We'll look at retirement options and insurance options. We'll look at the new tax code within the Trump tax reform, and we'll put it all together specific for them, and to build a wealth strategy where they can do something, where they can possibly use that for retirement and get them to a place where they realize their dreams. Not too long ago, we've helped a doctor. He was overpaying by taxes by, you know, $30,000-$40,000 per year. And we helped him save that amount of money and even more, I would say probably around $60,000 for this year and every going forward by just doing these type of looking into these types of strategies and helping them focus their life in one position, in one on a certain path.
That's a lot. 60,000 savings, that's a lot. Very good. And what do you enjoy most about your job as a business owner or as an accountant?
It's like I said, it's always about helping the person to see their face, to show them that we saved you $30,000-$40,000 this year, and they go to me, you know what, Rudy, thank you so much. You know, I can pay for my kids to, you know, college tuition right now, and I don't have to take a loan out. And you know, my daughter's wedding was coming up, and I can actually pay for it now. So just to hear them to say that, I mean, that's everything for me.
Right. And also, like, I feel that if a business is doing good, they will be recommended. That's how you know you're doing good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, is there a business that anyone can open? Like, give some suggestions that without going back to school, without going to get a degree, like besides real estate that you suggested before, what else can an individual open a business?
Sure. So, I mean, I guess the businesses always have to do with, again, what they're passionate about. But the person doesn't have to open their own business and work for their business. You know, why did Donald Trump always say that I don't pay any taxes? Or Warren Buffett said that, you know, my tax rate is lower than my secretary's. It's because I put things in four brackets, and I think you might have got to the point that, you know, where there is the employee, there is a self-employed individual, a big business individual, and an investor. So when Warren Buffett says that my tax rate is lower than my secretary, is because he invests into other people's businesses. He's not working in their business. He trusts the person. He invests in that individual. So there is in within that, the IRS says that, you know, there are so many incentives geared towards a person that's investing in other companies. So the tax rate can be as low as 10% or 20%, opposed to an employee where they might be 40% or individual at 60%.
So investment is really, as a start, is going to be beneficial.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And can you describe yourself in three words before we finish?
That's a tough one. I mean, I've never thought about that one. And there's, I would think I always pride myself an out of the box thinker. So
you're creative.
Yeah.
In a way, creative.
Yeah.
And I would say you're passionate about your work.
100%. Just like I said, to help somebody individual to realize their dreams is a big thing for me.
Okay, so before we finish, what is the preferred way to communicate with clients?
I always like to give a call to my clients to have that one-on-one with the individual. to give them that, you know, to that, give them that time that they deserve. So you can always give me a call. I'd be happy to talk to you. Or, you know, at these days, we understand that people love to converse with through emails and text messages. So anyway is fine.
Anyway is fine. Okay, so you can reach Rudy to at 646-235-0609, or you can email rudy@gavrilovandco.com. This information will be in the description box. Rudy, thank you so much for being with me tonight. I really appreciate your time. And you gave so much tips and advice, and you showed your expertise to the listeners. And listeners, if you do need help with any financials, and if you need to do something with your finances, or you need help with your finances, Rudy is the guy that can help you to get unstuck in your situation that you are now. Thank you, Rudy, so much.
Thank you, Sarah.
Tune in to Let's Talk Careers with Sarah here on Armed Radio Global every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Stuck on your careers, hate your boss but don't know how to move on, don't know how to ask for a salary raise, then you need to listen to my show Let's Talk Careers with Sarah every Wednesday night here on Armed Radio Global. If you like this episode, please follow and share it with others. Join my group on Facebook called Let's Talk Careers Inner Circle. If you would like to be featured on my show, let me know in the group. And I have an event coming up, Career Readiness Workshop. It's on August 20 at 7:30 p.m. You will learn about job strategies, interview skills, and this will be your opportunity to network with others. More details on bit.ly/career-readiness-workshop. Are you ready to land your dream job? Your dream job is awaiting for you. You want to transition, you want to be a leader, you want to have the mindset of how to nail that interview. This ebook is exactly for you. It's a workbook that requires you to think a little bit and know what to expect when someone is going to ask you that question. That is actually a great plan for you to understand what you will be asked and what you need to ask yourself as well in order to get the right answers. It's a ebook that requires you to write your thoughts, your opinions, and answer the questions that's there. It's only $17. I require you to go to Sarah Yusupov. sarayusupov.blogspot.com/shop. In that section, you will see exactly what you need. It's a great breakthrough if you want to change your career. Again, it's sarayusupov.blogspot.com/shop. The link is in the description below.
I own a small business. I need help with HR compliance, but I can't afford to hire someone. I also can't afford not to.
I'm Ashley. I'm a senior HR manager at Bambi. Not a consultant or a hotline, a dedicated HR manager that you can hire for just $99 a month. Seriously, I'll craft your company policies, employee handbook, and ensure compliance. And I'll deal with the government on your behalf. We're called Bambi, and we're a new kind of HR, built and priced specifically for small business. Here's how it works.
First, I thought this was some sort of offshore call center, but...
It's not. Rick joined Bambi for just $99 a month. I'm dedicated to his company. I have 10 years of experience, support all 50 states, and I'm HR certified.
I can reach Ashley by phone, email, or real-time chat. It's as easy to reach her as it was to get started.
First, I performed a full internal HR audit of his business. I found mistakes, some of them serious, so I drafted up an HR plan that made sense to Rick and his company. I crafted federal, state, industry, and custom policies, like paid time off. Then I work with his team and help Rick implement those policies across the company.
She helps me with onboarding new employees, from drafting job descriptions to new hire paperwork. She even coached me through a stressful termination.
All for just $99 a month.
I also get access to their easy-to-use platform. There, I have a bird's eye view of my staff so I can be sure their relationship with my company stays compliant. My team can chat with her directly to field questions and resolve conflict like harassment. Job descriptions, employment agreements, and background checks, all digital, all centralized. My company policies are visible in one place, and Ashley makes changes whenever my business needs them.
Rick also has access to our corrective action platform. Document incidents, written and verbal warnings, and performance improvement plans, all done online with my help.
I've known I've needed HR for a long time. My assistant and Google aren't going to keep me out of trouble forever.
You're welcome. In the past, hiring an HR manager has cost $60,000 to $70,000 a year. Well, it's the future. Bambi is available now for small business owners like you, starting at $99 a month. Seriously.
Bambi, an HR manager, craft HR policy and maintain compliance.
Hey, did you know you could get paid to travel the world and teach English? I'm Tamara with Let's TEFL, and I'm here to introduce you to the world of teaching English overseas. Native English speakers are in high demand all over the world. Think Thailand, China, Italy, Spain, and schools will pay around $2,000 to $3,000 per month for qualified teachers. It's a great way to see the world and get paid at the same time. With our online course, you can become a certified English language teacher and work all over the world. You don't need any previous teaching experience. You can study at your own pace and gain your qualification within a few weeks. We'll provide extra training to help you pass job interviews. And we'll even help you find an exciting job overseas. So what are you waiting for? Click the link below and get started today.